How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Hour 4 of this extravaganza here on TSN 1200. We're glad you're along, and we have reached the month of March. We're going to kick off the new month and the new week with a Sens game day. We got the Sens and Flames for you tonight at 7 o'clock. 5 o'clock pregame show here on TSN 1200. As the Sens will have another busy week, four games ahead this week. Tomorrow night, they're in Montreal. Then it's two more games against Calgary, only this time out west. Thursday night and then Sunday night for the Sens and the Flames as they finish up playing 5 out of 6 games against each other. But it all kicks off tonight. We'll get more into the game coming up in just a second. A couple of quick updates on our discussion on the gas tank. And this has gotten more press than...
Because people are embarrassed for you too.
Well, yeah, Barsky and Smith Falls. As a car guy myself, listening to you guys talk about cars is like nails on a chalkboard, painful and embarrassing for males as a whole. Do us all a favor and stick to hockey, please. That's where Barsky
and Smith Falls. We could hang out at a garage and talk the talk, no doubt.
Well, apparently you think you can. I don't think that Barsky agrees with that.
I can't.
I don't really, and again, we've had many embarrassing moments as a show. I don't feel that not knowing that light on there is that big of a deal. And this is like LeBron, you know, not telling us not to talk politics. I mean, we got a guy here that is endorsing Ford cars on the show.
Exactly.
Like he is a car expert.
Pro driving tip, fellas. R is not for racing. It's for reverse. Jeff says, what about back in the day when the gas tank was actually underneath the license plate.
Nice, that's
right.
Oh,
wow.
Old school right there.
Yeah,
as well.
I think after the Pinto blew up a couple of times, they decided to switch that one up.
Not a good idea.
That was going to be changed.
Yeah, exactly.
And as far as the reverse, that just gets me right back to some of the old shifters, JR, when you didn't have the automatic when you had the stick, and then trying to find reverse, and especially it first came, I think, with the German cars, where you had to crank the thing down and somehow find the very back and get it into reverse, and half the time it would still be in gear and you'd be hitting the wall if you're parked in a parking lot. Pain in the butt.
Watching the golden goal in my basement apartment at the time, I forgot I'd paused the game earlier and was a minute or so behind. I heard the guys upstairs erupt in cheers and couldn't figure out why. I found out a minute later. Kind of got to celebrate twice.
That's classic. Yeah, that is classic.
How many times do you get caught on that now? Like I do all that. Sometimes a little play will happen.
Different.
And I kind of will roll it back because I want to see it a second time. And it's kind of, and then you forget to do the to hit the live button.
I change le channel right away just to make sure it's back in real time. And I don't use that mode. It's funny how, and I think Lee's real good with that. And as far as the PVR thing too, like I'm not a, I used to tape everything Anthony Bourdain related, now 30 for 30, but I just don't use that very often as well.
I always tape all the games.
Okay.
I tape every Sens game just to make sure I've got a copy of it, so if I need to go back and look at it.
Yeah. Thanks, Pierre.
I like to break it down. Watch all the games. Simmer's point about daytime running lights is actually a very important one. Many new cars don't have automatic night lights, but their daytime lights have the dash lights on too, so as night hits, they don't realize their taillights aren't on. So dangerous, and because their dash lights are on, they have no idea why I'm flicking my lights at them. That comes from unsigned.
Yeah, and I think it's a great idea. I mean, even during the day, I don't know why everybody wouldn't have, automatically all the time. Don't touch it. And do you guys ever get in your vehicle? Or if you're in a new vehicle, that's another thing that you're driving for a bit and you're like, I think I have the lights on, but you're not positive.
Well, again, I have a 10 years difference between the two cars that I have. Okay. The one has automatic lights, automatic dimming, everything. Yeah. The other car, I actually have to turn the lights on.
Okay.
Also would require people who might drive it more regularly than me, my wife, to remember to turn the lights off.
Oh, geez.
Which may have been forgotten along with my daughter a time or two,
which
may have required a new battery to be bought at one time.
Those booster cables get in a workout, JR?
They're in the back of the car always. It's not in the garage because I know if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to that car. All right, here. Punch of, you know what, let's get to the game and then I'll get back to the, because I got about 15,000 texts coming in all at the same time. Sens practice yesterday. First of all, on Ryan Dzingel, if you're wondering what's going on, came out of quarantine on the weekend, practice yesterday for the first time, is not going to play tonight. In fact, probably a few more days. Now, the weird thing is, right, they got a game tonight, so they have a game day skate. I'm assuming probably he goes today, but that's usually a pretty short practice.
Yeah.
Tomorrow they probably won't skate because they're going to Montreal and they won't have a skate tomorrow. Now, I guess he can stay back here and skate with the extras. I guess that's a possibility. And then they're going out to Calgary. So it'd be kind of, with this condensed schedule and a lot of games, that's where it gets hard if you want to get a guy getting
you know, a bunch of skates in and a bunch of practices before you play them to actually find the time to be able to do it.
Well, and even with that, JR, it's not even just about skating. I would assume being in a hotel room just to get into a gym, right? Get into a bit of a routine. And this is pretty simple. I mean, this isn't like a playoff team. You've made a trade. You're rushing a guy in. When is the athlete ready? I would assume, kind of looking at Ryan Dzingel athletically, where he's at in his career, I'd be shocked if it's anything past Thursday. But this is my own thing. But hey, it's up to him. This is a whole different world of guys coming out of this and when they hop in and interested. And I looked up his stats here just from a game standpoint. And it's interesting. In the last couple of years in Ottawa, combination of 136 games, he ended up having 45 goals since he's left. And again, we're not talking about an older player. In 96 game, only has 16 goals, right? Like I thought for sure he'd head out of here and be a 20 goal scorer. It's amazing the difference of, you know, his productivity here in Ottawa, and then from Columbus to Carolina, just pretty much went dry.
Yeah, and I could make the point in, well, you know what, both teams, both Columbus and Carolina, I wouldn't say they're goal challenged, but they're, it's not like they're, you know, Carolina plays a great puck possession game.
Yeah,
and they've
got,
listen, they got Aho, and they've got, you know, Teravainen, and they've got Svechnikov. Like, they have a few scorers, to be sure, but it's not a hugely deep offensive team. And Columbus, for sure, needs some scores. So I can't think it's for lack of opportunity, right, where you're going, hey, if this guy can score goals, here's a couple of teams that would, you know, they're not going to dress him because he can't score. I mean, that's why he would be on the team. So, again, without having watched a lot of games of those two teams, you know, you play yourself onto the fourth line in the press box because those teams would want your goals if you could score them for them.
Yeah, and I also thought when he first came to Ottawa, and even in that first 20-goal season, guys, that he was a bit of a pain in the ass. And I thought, you know, he kind of got out there and got underneath people. Now he's running people over. But his game in his contract year, JR, I thought this is trending the wrong direction, where I didn't think he got involved nearly enough. And that's what led me to believe was, what kind of like, wow, is Columbus really watching? And forget about Tortorella, just for, we know what the playoffs are all about. And Ryan Dzingel on a playoff team's probably not playing in your top six. So if he also does not want to get superly involved physically, well, there's not really a matchup for him. I felt that the minute the trade, now put in the simple fact is John Tortorella. I don't think this is going to work out very well.
Dzingel, Thursday seems like a date to circle possibly.
Yeah,
and the other one that's kind of in the same boat when you think about it is Logan Brown. Logan Brown is on the taxi squad now, so skating with the regular team. And they have talked about the fact that it sounds like he's going to get a game here at some point. But again, condensed schedule, not a lot of practice time. At some point, you're just going to have to throw him in, right?
Well, I don't think he should, but I know this is where it's trending, and I don't know if this is...
Well, he's on the taxi squad.
No, I know, JR, but as I said, I wouldn't, but you're right, that's where it's going to, and this feels like, again, you know, everybody wants Logan to be there. Man, I don't think that this is going to... And I'm not saying, nobody's ever said he wants out of Ottawa. Does he kind of wonder if he should be on the team, should have played more? But I think you're headed now where you're going to end up in a situation here where I don't think he's going to do very well. And then, you know, does that
force you've been a big advocate of just letting guys play, you know, especially the young guys. Go out there, make your mistakes, you know, try and play. See what you got.
Yeah, but based on Logan Brown after a year off and where the pace is at, JR, and just my feeling of... Because, as I said, I don't look at Norris, Batherson, Tkachuk, obviously, what Stützle has done, even Branstrom when he's hopped in, Willanen a little bit different, but I don't feel like any of it's forced. I understand, because I also look at veteran players on any team, including Ottawa, make just as many mistakes. I just don't think you're putting in the athlete in the best spot to succeed, that's all. And I don't, you know, it just doesn't feel like the timing is right, but it's probably going to happen. And also, what a shame that it's not a regular year and there's not an American Hockey League, because let's face facts, between Stützle and Batherson, like, I mean, is there ever a time when you're just shouting for an opportunity for a guy like Logan Brown if he was up and running playing properly? But to your point, I think that's going to happen. I just can't imagine that he's going to be successful.
Okay, so what is the right? So should Belleville's got three games this week here in town, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Are they better off playing him in those games?
Oh, I would for sure, but I wouldn't even see that as a resolution, JR. Now, I haven't watched him enough. I saw a little sample size of the game in Laval. I didn't like what I saw, but you know what? He's skating. I'm not at practice. Maybe looks better. I just originally always said, and I look at every player different, like if you want to throw Formant in right now, I'm fine. Give him some games and then send him back to the American League. It's not a big deal. In the case of Logan Brown, I always had in my mind, you know what? I feel for a young big man, give him a full month in Belleville. Give him some reps here. And it was almost like when Pierre Dorion was saying, please go down and play well. Didn't you sense that in his comment? Mm-hmm. He was like, please, we don't want to just recall you. please go down and play well. And in the small sample size, you know, really hasn't done anything. So I just had in my mind, it wasn't just, oh, a weekend, he's going to be fine. No, he needs a full month. He needs a lot of reps, and then let's see where he's at.
Yeah, and then this has been the unfortunate part of the American Hockey League schedule is that Belleville had the four games against Laval, and he played the first two, and then unfortunately got nicked up, didn't play the next two, and then they didn't, you know, haven't played for a week and a half, or what will almost amount to 2 weeks before they finally get back at it coming up this Wednesday. So they'll finally be back on the ice. So, again, even if they wanted to, there wasn't the ability to play games at this point, which is, you know, whether it's at the NHL level or the American Hockey League level, he's just got to get, he's got to play some games. We got to, you know, they have to make a determination here if this guy is going to be a player in this organization or not. And you know, best chance to succeed is a great point.
Yeah.
You know, and is that from playing another week or two or 3 weeks worth of games in the American League and then bringing him up? Or is it, okay, kid, you've had enough time in the American Hockey League. Come up to the NHL, sink or swim.
Yeah.
Because isn't a lot of simmer with Logan Brown, isn't it, you know, a lot of what you're determining is, I always hesitate to use effort level because I think everybody does try in the NHL, but it's just, it's a matter of, you know, is he pushing 110, you know, on the meter or not?
Yeah,
or
no,
is he
no.
kind of around there at 90%?
And this will, and then also go back to, I have to assume, guys, that the Ottawa Senators still think this guy can be a player because also you're at a point where the organization is trended to. You would know, okay, what's his training honestly been like? What are his practice habits like? What are his game habits like, JR? I mean, why even go down the path of playing him if you don't think he's a player? So I just don't, this is my own personal thing. I care about the player, I care about the agent. When I'm a general manager of a team, that's my asset, and I'm going to handle it on my timeline. I'm not going to be forced into anything where if he comes up and it doesn't work and, you know, it's not feeling it,
Don't you get to a point, though, Simmer, at some point with a prospect that's now, and this is year five in the organization, where you just want to, if it's not there, you just want to move on yourself as a team. It's we got to cleanse it. We got to cleanse ourselves of this question. Which is hanging over us year after year.
No, you totally do, JR. That's my point, though. But I would think the Ottawa Senators at this point already know what Logan Brown, do you know what I mean? I can't believe that the next time he comes in, they're kind of sitting and saying, okay, we think he might be a player, we think he might. I mean, you've got to, come on, after that much of a sample size. I mean, we've seen them turn the page on Schlappick to Balsers to Lajoie, not that Logan Brown's not a better player, to Yarosh, do you know what I mean? That's my point. I don't even know why you'd be wasting your time. But like I say, I'm not in the meetings behind the scene. And as I said, we'll see when he hops in. But I'd be real shocked, as I said, JR, that just based on practice that he's really in a position. Because, yeah, like I said, I wish he had a month. I wish he had played well. And then see him between Stutzla and Batherson. That would be exciting to see.
Spencer writes, Logan Brown is the new Nick Paul. Brown is also injury prone. I'm done with him, to be honest. That's from Spencer. Well, if he's the new Nick Paul, yeah. Nick Paul is actually a positive story. Nick Paul is a player they gave pretty much, well, they did give up on. They put him on waivers, what, twice?
Yeah.
Nobody else picked him up. And now they've sort of, they've fallen into something positive with him, not by the best of their intentions, because they had no intention of keeping the guy, and he's turned himself into a very good NHL player now.
Yeah, it's amazing. Historically, JR, three names come to mind. One would be Daniel Briere. The other would be Jason Pominville, and then would be Mike Hoffman. You know, players that went through waivers. Mike Hoffman twice, no? You know, I mean, we're talking about a 30-goal scorer. We're talking about two other guys who went on to have great careers. That always amazes me, and I say that even in the case of Balsers, and there's been other players in the past, even Nick Paul. You know, I'm surprised more teams on two-way deals don't give guys a free look, especially when you're a team trying to rebuild and say, hey, you know, why not? It's low risk. If it doesn't work out, you send them down. It's not like you're grabbing some mega contract.
Unsigned rights on text at 12-1200. When you do text us, standard messaging rates apply. Game one after a year, talking about Belleville, he plays meh. Not shocking. Game two gets injured. So, sorry, no, I don't think we've seen enough. His numbers in the American Hockey League last year were similar to Norris's. Obviously, he won the spot out of camp, but come on, he deserves a chance in the NHL based on his AHL abilities and age. Comes from Unsigned.
Oh, I actually think, and I've thought in the past, without knowing everything going on, that when I watch him play, is he a speed demon? No, but he's a massive guy that, to me, does have a put enough pace, JR. Body language can be tough on bigger players, but yeah, is he putting in the work? And when it comes to the skill between those two guys and on a power play, I think the ingredients are all there. And you know, it might be also, you never know where Otto's at, JR. There's always that fear. And this isn't Mika's advantage, Ed, because Mika was a far better player at the same age. But you're always kind of thinking, okay, the guy kind of wants a chance, and if he doesn't, is he asking to go somewhere else? And do you ever, you're a little bit fearful that he ends up going somewhere else and the light turns on?
Sens game day skate takes place in about an hour or so. We'll find out about the lineup for tonight's game. It looks like, based on yesterday's practice at least, that Eric Brännström may not go tonight and that Braden Coburn could come back into the lineup, and Coburn would play with Eric Gudbranson. You are suggesting, Simmer, that the more prudent choice may be to sit Gudbranson and put Brännström in the place beside Coburn.
Yeah, and very much so. And again, I know a local guy, good guy. He's been a good pro. Oh, he's really struggled with the pace there. Go back to Perry's goal in Montreal the other night, really having a tough time. Hey, everybody, and Pierre pointed out on the schedule, hey, everybody needs breaks, JR. I just would like to see the coach be more creative in some of the things and change the system up, which you very seldomly see, but good for him. But like I say, getting away from some of these Mike Babcock philosophies. Brännström, to me, don't bother sitting him. He struggled a little bit the other night, but he had a partner that was really having a tough night. I'd throw him over to the right side and play Coburn on the left side.
It's funny how it would appear, and it's not completely solved, but they've got the forward thing, the forward units kind of you can now see the picture kind of coming into focus on the forwards, at least at the top six,
in like short and long term, you mean?
Yeah, into
absolutely.
A top nine,
totally,
right?
Totally.
And listen, there's still some players to come.
Yeah,
the defense seems very much a question mark still, and goaltending we can get to another time, but the defense seems very much in question. Like, I don't know. From game one to now, whatever tonight is, game 23 or whatever it is, I don't know that I've learned a whole heck of a lot. I know that Artem Zub has been a pleasant surprise, and right now definitely would be a part of, you know, the next year's defense.
Yeah.
But, Thomas Chabot has been hit and miss. Has there been progression from last year? I guess a little bit, but the defensive side of the game still needs work. Zaitsev, I guess, has been slightly better than expectation.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's kind of a hodgepodge of, you know, guys in the last year of their contract with the team who won't be back next year. And Belleville hasn't played. And then you got the guys maybe at North Dakota too soon. So defense seems like, I don't know that they've solved anything on defense other than Zub may be a player going forward.
Yeah, I look at this right now, JR, and almost going into next year. In a top pairing, I've got Chabot. In a second pairing, I got Zub. And in a third pairing, I got Zaitsev. So I basically need a right shot, and it could be Zub, but just saying next to Chabot, I need a left shot next to Zub, and I need a left shot next to Zaitsev. Now, when Bernard Docker, should he turn pro, which sounds like he will, he slides in. Let's get a look at Lassie Thompson, but I totally agree with you. But that would be my slotting, and then you kind of look at, okay, realistically, a year or 2 years from now, does Sanderson hop into one of those spots? Probably. But a lot will be on Brännström. And then don't forget, you've got Brown, who's got another year in his contract and on one way. And then what happens with a guy like Willannon? And I get a bit of a feeling that the page has been turned on Willannon. That's
getting
just
there.
My feeling.
I agree.
When you're looking now to make a change, if I'm looking to get a new partner for Gudbranson tonight, I'm not bringing in a 35-year-old guy who, you know, another big, but you know what I mean? Like that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So that would be exactly the fit where Willannon would be sliding in. So when you trend towards that, and what is he, the one-year, one-way contract for Willannon?
You know, this year?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think that that's where that's trending towards.
I would agree that it seems like it's getting to the point where I think the coach has made his decision. And as we have come to learn, I think the general manager takes a lot of what the coach says. And this is my player, and this is not my kind. This is my kind of player. Yeah. This is not my kind of player. And I'm not going to bat here for Christian Willannon when he has had the opportunity to play.
Yeah.
Hasn't played very well. There's no doubt about that. The defensive instincts of his game are still very unrefined and is learning it at the National Hockey League level. Is that the right thing? Or, I mean, the problem is now you'd have to put him on waivers, right? And would he go through waivers? And does he need more time in the American Hockey League? Because I think right now, I personally, as much as he's still a prospect you'd like to see, his play has not been nearly close enough that you would say he should play. A Brännström?
Yeah.
I think you'd very definitely make the point of he's had some good games, and he's had some games when he's been, you know, suspect. But it's like, okay, you see enough there that absolutely let him play his way through it, let him make his mistakes, but he's an NHL player.
Yeah.
I can't say that about Willannon.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, Willannon, and back to the coach part of it, and I hope it's repaired some, we'll go back to training camp and what an incredible camp it was. You've had a hockey team here very quietly in the last couple of weeks that has totally changed their system, Jer. Like, that's almost unheard of. And this is the thing I get from feedback of, hey, why are they not playing like Vegas and Tampa as far as D-zone covers? They've switched it up. We had a number of personnel decisions coming out of training camp that we were all kind of like, really? Is this really what's going on right now? I appreciate that, but I also look at this like, hey, on Willanen, personally, if I was a manager, why don't you throw him in with Zub, and why don't we get some looks here on that? You know what I mean? And this is where, and I'm not, this isn't about Pierre Dorion or DJ Smith. Any coach and manager sit and have dialogue all the time. What you don't ever want to arrive at a point is where the coach, and I don't care, well, if you're Scotty Bowman, okay, but early in your coaching career, man, like, you got to sit there and take advice on personnel when there becomes this distinctive, and Joel Quenneville, and Joel would be the first one to tell you, could be a little bit like that in Chicago where, hey, this guy's, you know, Trevor Daly, that he's not going to work. Well, he goes to Pittsburgh and plays well. I don't think you should arrive at that point. Like, there should be some really healthy dialogue all the time of, hey, why don't we try some different things here versus this is my kind of player. Well, your kinds of players and Austin Watsons and Browns and all these guys that were brought in the offseason
haven't worked out very well.
Well, they haven't, you know, no. And so I don't think that's healthy. And I think there's enough evidence now, and people say, well, you know, they're not going to play Stützle at center. Okay, if they don't, that's fine. But that doesn't mean that you don't have the discussion and that I'm not going to offer my personal background of why I would do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, this just absolute that, oh, well, you know, that's not what Smitty's going to end up doing. Boy, that should be challenged on every level by the media and certainly by the general manager.
Yeah. Just one other point on Willanen. And again, yesterday they had 9 defensemen. He is, you know, judging by who's playing with whom, he's the 9th guy right now. And I found it very telling. And I think it was at the end of training camp, or maybe it was after a couple of games when he played a game and then got pulled. And he said, I'd be paraphrasing his words, but said words, you know, in an interview to the tune of, I don't get the same kind of rope that other people get. And
yeah,
I realize.
Yeah.
And I found that for a young player who's kind of finding his way.
Yeah,
I'll never be critical of an athlete speaking his mind. I like that.
Yeah.
I like the fact we don't get cliched answers. And he's a very, very bright guy. But I found that to be a very interesting comment from a young player still finding his way.
Yeah.
And that says to me that he thinks the coach has already turned the page.
Well,
on.
Yeah, and I that was the whole Guy Boucher thing, and I didn't understand it. And again, in a year like this, JR, this is a chance where I can try things. I can do different things. I don't got to be set in my way. And as I said, it does. I know for younger players, a little different, but you watch Gabranson in the last few games there. I mean, come on. You got to, if you're going to have a standard of people that are struggling, and I'll be honest with you, with him, I think he's just at a point where he could use a little time off anyway. I just think physically that he's having a bit of a tough time with the pace.
Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today. Which of the next 2 games, and they play back-to-back, would you like to see Joey Decord start? Tonight versus the Flames, tomorrow versus the Abs. All right, and right now, and you were tomorrow night, right, Simmer?
No. I thought, no. All I said is it would be cool if he played in Montreal, JR. I understand your theory of Calgary tonight, and then Murray's played well against Montreal.
So what's your vote?
No, I'll go Decord tonight.
Decord tonight, okay.
But I also, as a third man in charge here, which I don't know what that means, but should we switch it to whether Tom Wilson, is Tom Wilson getting more reaction on the Olympic team than
well,
the
goalies? We'll get into some of that reaction
okay.
as well. That's an anytime web bowl.
Okay.
Hammer, Decord tonight or tomorrow?
Not because I don't want Decord to play in Montreal. I just want to see Murray have another day off, so I would like Decord to go today.
All right. And, well, I hate to make it a clean sweep, but, well, I was the first one to say it, so. I said tonight versus the Flames, and right now 78% of you agree. 78-22 is the vote right now. Would rather see Decord go tonight and then Elliot, and then Murray go tomorrow against Montreal. Don't forget, he beat Montreal twice last week.
Yeah, exactly. And part of your point, I mean, every start I want more consistency, but having Matt Murray play well against the rival Montreal Canadiens and where they're at right now, I think that's a tougher test for him than playing against Calgary tonight.
We'll get to some of the Twitter reaction to Simmer's idea of should Tom Wilson be considered for Canada's Olympic team. Lots of people reacting to that, and some of them not in a very positive way. We'll get into that this day in sports history. Celebrate some sports and hockey birthdays as we roll on before we make our way at the top of the hour for In the Box. The Drive this afternoon kicks off at 2 o'clock, and then 5 o'clock pregame show, 7 o'clock. Dean and Gord will have the call from Canadian Tire Center. Sens and Flames for a Monday night on TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
9:43. So Simmer just brought up, apropos of nothing with Pierre, what about Tom Wilson on the Canadian Olympic team? And I like it. I like it. That was off the board for 1,000, Alex. Let's get some reaction. You threw it out there on our TSN 1200 Twitter hammer. Let's see from Kenny. Not a chance. Somebody else said, don't like a-holes playing on my team.
Well, I think there's a few a-holes. The Stars, they kind of tend to go hand in hand sometimes. You just don't hear about it. And Tom Wilson's, he's filling a role in the Capitals, and now he's filling a bigger role. When you can play, he's playing with all-star world talent and keeping up and shining. I don't think it's a far fetch right now that he could be on Team Canada.
Somebody said, imagine him on a line with McDavid.
Yeah, no, it is so.
And sure if that's a positive or a negative.
No, it's a positive. Now, this isn't about putting Ryan Reeves, and I'll even go back to Milan Lucic when he was playing well in Boston, JR. People, whatever reason, first of all, disconnect whatever you may not like about Tom Wilson, other than the fact, I think we'd all agree, you would love to have him on your team, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and
it's
so...
like Brad Marchand, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, Brad even... I mean, we're talking now. Brad is just an all-star. Like, he's just a great player. He's also...
A lot of people hate him, though.
Oh, for sure. But he has also gotten away from... People have to, first of all, look at talent levels of guys, but also see when a player has evolved, right? I mean, I don't even know why, like I said, with NHL size ice, with NHL referees, you're going against the Americans tonight in the gold medal game. Imagine throwing this guy out at the very least just to track and make contact. I mean, what tournament, and I'll say this to the World Junior, but especially in the playoffs, I just always think back to of the craziest group of guys that were put together, JR, was that St. Louis fourth line where you had a Russian and the center and Steen, who was a skilled player. The difference they made in that series on the
Barbashev, Sundquist, and Steen, right?
Yeah, exactly. Nice. And, you know, and that's not even the way those guys played, but as they got a hold of Krug a couple of times early in that series, you know, you could just see the effect of that wearing down. And then by game seven, it was like, wow. Mm. And you start, hey, the part of Tom Wilson when you're doing this, JR, it, you know, Europeans would be nervous anyway, but there's not a guy in the United States that wouldn't be, you know, you know, a defenseman on the forecheck, even Carlson who plays with him, that wouldn't be looking around when the guy steps on the ice.
A Barbashev is what I asked for when I went to the haircutting place a couple of weeks ago, and this is why I got what I got, which my wife is still not very happy with. Great show, guys. One thing about Nick Paul, other than his great play of late, is the fact that he bears a striking resemblance to Mr. Bean. That's from Pat in CP.
Oh, does he?
That? Yeah, you know what? A tiny bit.
Okay.
I'll give you a tiny bit of Mr. Bean on that one.
Certainly not complimentary, and I did try to turn on
I don't think Mr. Bean's a bad-looking guy.
What?
I think he's a bad-looking guy. He's not ugly. He's not uggo.
Oh,
he's just different looking.
Have you watched any? I put on his movie, Jay. I don't know the last time you clicked on. Oh, he's in the. We don't want to ruin all our good material for Monday. We'll save this for later in the week. But I think he's in the.
Sounds like a web poll question. I think, is Mr. Bean ugly or
no,
not?
I think he's in the ugly zone. And wow. I tried to turn on one of his movies, and it's like, oh man.
Not
like,
for you.
I used to be the little skits that he used to do. I was kind of got a kick out of it. And there was one when he's trying to shake the queen's hand, and somehow his zipper's open and his hand's coming out like a gun. And I thought it was somewhat comedic. But any of the movies, it just, you know, he's got about a 10-minute, you know, and then there's a nut. You've seen enough of it.
Mm. Jay writes, Christian Rolanin, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Are we really saying that Gudbranson, Zaitsev, Coburn, for the love of God, are less of a problem in the defensive end than Rolanin? Sorry, guys, but I just don't see it. I truly don't get it. If it's just the coach picking the types of players he likes, say so, but I can't buy the too many defensive mistakes argument when I see the caliber of the other goofs they are running out there regularly. Fondly, that's from Jay.
And Jay, here is, because I think we're all agreeing that Rolanin hasn't played great, JR, and Riley has improved, but if we want to get into who makes mistakes, and you go through that crew, the issue I would have, and I'll say this about any young player in a year like this, and I even would have said that about Balcers, maybe not Schlappick, but Jarosz as well. Like, this is a year where I want to play every one of these young players to the point at the end of the year, I know exactly what I have. Like, I need to find out whether or not Willannon's a player, and I don't think...
How many games do you think you need for that? The reason I asked that before you answer is maybe there's a plan... I'll throw it out there that maybe there's a plan and we're at the 23 game mark. There's 56 games in the schedule.
Yeah.
And if you say, I need to see a player for 20 games, okay, to have a real good idea, maybe the plan, Simmer, it's written down right now, is that the last 20 games of this season, doesn't matter where they are, if they've somehow kept winning and they're close to it, doesn't matter. They're going to play the all these players that we're wondering about. Yeah, they're all going to play the last 20 games of the year. It's 20 games is the right number.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the number is, JR. Here's a couple of things. Is it, okay, what do I need when I watch talent from a scouting standpoint? Like a sample size. I'll say, you know, give me 5 to 10 games on a guy where I could give you a pretty good read, especially here in Ottawa and watching them, and I can kind of get a feel where they're going, which direction they're headed. But a different conversation is that in transition and as a player and a forward, but especially as a defenseman, I think you need a lot of reps to learn that, right? What's the old golf rule? Is it 10,000 shots, or what was the guy that you had to take?
Well, that's anything in life.
Yeah. So I'll go
do something 10,000 times before it becomes autopilot.
Yeah, and I'll go into the defensive side. We've talked about his background. Well, okay. And then when you get into the roller coaster of in and out, now I think you're doing damage to the athlete, and you touched on his comment. Oh, this is a player that, and again, unless he's not trying, and that's another thing. Like, if I've got guys that keep making the same mistake and they can't learn or they're not trying, that's one thing. But there's also a spot of give the guy 20 games where he's in the lineup and turn it into a teaching situation and see if you have a player. I don't like that approach. And as I said, it's not like he's sitting behind, you know, the big three of the Montreal Canadiens in the 1970s. There should, and I agree with the texter there, like there should be more opportunity. And again, I'm not coaching the team. Like, what would I do tonight? I'd have a Willannon in and I'd put Branstrom on the right side. Like, that's the kind of stuff I'd try to be creative with versus, you know, going longer.
If Logan Brown was put on waivers, how fast would he get picked up? That comes from Unsigned.
You know what, Unsigned? I don't know.
He'd get picked up by, you know, like Detroit or somebody would pick him up.
I believe so, yeah.
Just have a look.
Yeah, no,
free
for
look,
sure.
As you like to say, free player. Contract's up at the end of the year. If you don't like it, move on.
My only hesitation is I think there is enough of the hockey community out there that doesn't think, but I agree with you. There would be somebody. Also, guys, would you agree the new trend is, and this is happening, like if you've got any problem contracts, I'm sure from Skinner and if Murray turns into a problem or Dadonov, I mean, Seattle's going to take all those guys off your hands, right? Like, you know, if you go through the 31 teams, if you go through the 31 teams right now, whatever problem you
have, a $100 million payroll.
Ron Francis is here to help you.
Yeah, exactly. For the low, low price. The Buddha in the pothole writes, hi, boys. Big pothole shout out to Rachel Holman for grinding her way through to the Scotties final 8 months prior. Pregnant. In her defense, the last time I saw ice that bad, it was at the Bedrock Curling Club the year that Schleprock beat Fred in extra ends. Good vibes. That comes from Buddha in the pot.
Was it a bad sheet there, JR? You watched a little?
I watched a little bit. They were making the point on the broadcast that she and her team were having a lot of trouble reading the ice last night, whereas the other team wasn't. So they were talking about that the fact that the ice was really, really, you know, had been talking throughout the entire Scotties that the ice was good, but that last night in particular, they seemed to be having trouble with reading the ice.
Okay.
So I like to watch high level curling. I can't speak to the fact of other than my 1 year experience at the Ottawa Curling Club, of which Rachel Holman's rink is from. Yeah. That's my.
Were you in the lead?
Did you win the championship?
No, we didn't win the championship. Okay.
You were the lead.
It was myself.
You were the tryhard.
My neighbor Johnny Goodgrass. We were the lead and the second.
Okay.
And
need then a good guard guy.
The other two guys were the guys that had actually played before.
Okay.
And again, my low moment, and I've told this story before, was I work hard. I was sweeping. I was right down at the end of the broom, like they teach you.
That's what the lead does most of the time.
Yeah, and I'm trying to grind that ice down. I'm trying to grind that stone down the ice, and then I went a little too far, and so the broom went right out, and because I was put all my weight on it, I fell right on top of the rock and on the handle with my chest.
That
really hurt. And so not only did it hurt my pride because I didn't look very good doing that.
Yeah. I don't think you've told that story often enough because I have forgotten about it.
No, good thing you're built like Arnie. That would have protected you as that handle went into you.
And that rock's burned, right? That rock gets thrown out.
Exactly. Best part is if you win, you got to buy the losing team a beer afterwards.
They're missing the famous ice guy that passed away, JR.
Shorty McJenkins?
He was famous on US TV in 2010, did an entire feature, and it was so funny living in the United States. I've said this 1,000 times. They said he's a household name the same as Wayne Gretzky. that's how popular curling is. And then they did a special on the US team, the men's team. And they were all in Minnesota, and they were all fat, and they were all living in one house, and they went in there, and all they had was light beer and McDonald's, and so just an absolute mockery.
That's
of
how
sport.
Everybody thinks the curlers are, right? Whereas if you watch the curling, they're pretty much top to bottom, all really fit people.
Yeah, just like golf, eh? Completely come around.
9:52. Let's get to this day in sports history, shall we, for this first day of March. It was on this day in 1968 The first-year Philadelphia Flyers found themselves without a home when the roof of the Spectrum was blown off in a storm.
Wow.
The Flyers were forced to play the final month of their season on the road. Home games moved to Toronto, New York, and Quebec City. Despite that, they finished in first place in the Western Division.
Yeah, and you watch some of the Rocky movies. I think most of the fights filmed right in there, JR. Very cool building back in the day. You know, the sight lines right on top of you, the crazy fans. Press box was literally right behind the benches, and always a cool place to go watch a hockey
Never
game.
Went to the Spectrum.
Yeah.
Would have liked to.
Yeah, it's neat. You come in the side door and where the offices were, and they had, you know, all these cool pictures of all the concerts and all the things that had gone on in Philadelphia history, and some real nice tradition, and feels like family if you're part of the old Flyers.
On this day in 1988, Wayne Gretzky became the greatest playmaker in NHL history when he set up, who else, Jari Kurri for his 1,050th assist, passing Gordie Howe. Wayne Gretzky set the record in his ninth NHL season. Gordie Howe had played 26 seasons to achieve 1,049 assists. By the way, the Oilers beat the Kings in that game. And, of course, Wayne Gretzky will be traded that same offseason to the aforementioned LA Kings.
Yeah, if Gordie had a Kurri on his side, Jer, I bet would have been had different results.
There you go. On this day in 1989, do you remember the name Charlie Francis? Charlie Francis was the coach of Ben Johnson.
Oh, yeah,
and told
course, yeah.
the Dubin yeah. inquiry yeah. into Canada's great sporting steroid scandal that Ben Johnson had knowingly used steroids since 1981 until he was, of course, caught at the 88 Olympics.
Yeah, and the full documentary on that, and they interviewed some of the other athletes. And one of the women, Jankowski or whoever it was, just talked about it. Hey, simple fact was everybody knew this. And what he was also at the time, what he was giving them was basically a horse tranquilizer, right? Or a steroid for horses. To the point that the gentleman where Charlie Francis would go and get this stuff, basically he thought he was actually working with animals. He didn't even think it was people. So, yeah, pretty scary.
The turning point came when Ben Johnson actually asked for some hay for lunch. You know?
and actually part of what he got, and almost like a Lance Armstrong, it was also him going down to Jamaica when he was injured, right, with the hamstring. The hamstring was a big part around it, right, where they got a little bit off of their procedure on how they were going to administer it.
Give me some oats. No, real oats. Also on the same day in 1989, Steve Yzerman became the first player in Red Wings history to score 60 goals in a season.
Wow.
When he scored his 60th in a win over the Islanders, he became the 11th player to score 60 in a season. That's when Steve Yzerman was filling the net like crazy.
Yeah.
And Detroit was never winning anything. And then the conversation, right, that came many years later still between he and Scotty Bowman. And eventually Steve Yzerman... he kind of learned that it's a two-way game.
Turned into a warrior, right? Where it was kind of the soft. Mike Modano, two players was funny. Every year we got calls on Mike Modano. Dallas wanted to trade him. Can't win with him. He evolved. And I think on purpose, Scotty Bowman floated out that he was going to trade Steve Yzerman. And I've said this a million times. It was going to be Steve Yzerman and Konstantinov for Kevin Hatcher and Kelly Miller. And the reason people say, oh, come on. Well, Kelly Miller and Kevin Hatcher, both from Detroit. Kevin at the time, a good player. I don't believe that was ever going to happen, JR, but it was discussed, and it got out into the media, and I think Scotty did that on purpose just to kind of rattle the cage of old Stevie Y.
On this day in 1993, the NHL's new team in Anaheim announced that they would be go by the nickname the Mighty Ducks, of course, owned by Disney. Is there a worse named team now in retrospect than the Anaheim Ducks as they sit there right now? Because they got rid of Mighty a few years ago.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
That's dumb. Colors are bad. Their logo stinks.
Yeah.
The team stinks.
Yeah.
I got...
Solid mascot, though, right?
The duck guy caught on fire once, didn't he?
Yeah, he would always be lowered. Remember the other time he's being lowered and it got caught?
Yeah.
It was, and Yorkie would tell the same story because Ron Wilson and Tim Army, who I worked with, the other bad part when they came in, it was actually Mr. Eisner that owned the team, not necessarily Disney. And he had used the $60 million from the Mighty Ducks movie. So maybe he did. Maybe it was Disney as well. But when they went out there, the people marketing JR had no respect for hockey, right? This was a marketing tool. Mm. Their uniforms that they had, and Yorkie has that one in his avatar, is one of the worst of all time.
Oh.
But they were forced on a weekly basis to go in the parade. Like they had to
the
go.
Players?
Yeah.
I never heard that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, they would come up all the time. And like people are like, listen, these are professional athletes. Like, no. Well, Mickey's going to be there and Goofy. And you guys got to be there. That was the whole approach at the time, kind of intertwined with that.
On this day in 1993, Pavel Bure became the first player in Canucks history to score 50 goals in a season. That came in a 5-2 victory over the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, previous to that, and I guess the only other, what would be another super notable scorer, our good friend Tony Tanti. Like, where if you think of previous to Pavel Bure,
Thomas Gradin.
Gradin would have been a nice player.
Orland Kurtenbach. Oh. Ron Settlebauer.
Stan Smeal.
I'm out. Yeah, I don't have any other Vancouver Canucks for you. On this day in 1999, Carleton University folded its football program after 54 years. Of course, it resurrected itself. How long has Carleton been back around? I would say 8 years.
Yeah,
or thereabouts.
Because we went through the first cycle of 5 years with the coach, right? Because remember,
Steve
Stephen mentioned about these are the kids that came in year one and got to that. So I'll say around eight. And it's funny because you go back to even the 80s here in Ottawa. I don't know how it was for you guys. There was a big trend at that point where a lot of the programs, I went to Colonel By and they folded the football then. Everybody was trending towards rugby because it was just much cheaper, right? I mean, the cost of football equipment and, there were a lot of teams that were folding up shop back then.
On this day in 2014, Jaromir Jagr scored his 700th career goal, becoming the seventh player to do that. I didn't even remember Jaromir Jagr played for this team. Would you take a wild guess as to which team Jagr scored his 700th career goal?
Most anonymous places that he played, other than Washington, Pittsburgh, New York Rangers, to Calgary. I'm going to go Florida Panthers.
No.
Because that wasn't anonymous enough. Chicago Blackhawks?
No.
Canadians?
No.
Philadelphia.
New Jersey Devils.
Ah, darn it.
I have no memory of Jaromir Jagr playing for the Devils. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, he scored his 700th goal on this day. All right, let's see here. On this day in 2017, it was 4 years ago today, this was a winning trade in retrospect. By Pierre Dorion, because the Senators acquired Jiří Jokapacka on this day. Oh, and a second-round pick they used to select Alex Formanton in exchange for Curtis Lazar, and Mike Koska was also a part of that deal that happened 4 years ago today.
Yeah, Mike Koska with a very solid retro 80s flow. Hey, remember that mullet that he was rocking?
Yes.
Also was going to be the next great thing when he broke in with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Never worked out. And to that trade, I remember heading towards the trade deadline. There were a lot of people in the market that thought Lazar was going to finish the year here, JR, right? And at that time, Pierre Dorion said, listen, if he continues to trend the way he's trending, I might not get nothing for him. And like I say, to have flipped that out and have to developed Formanton, who is going to be, to me, one hell of a hockey player, that's a sweet deal.
Sports birthdays born on this day in 1926, Pete Rozelle, who was the NFL commissioner from 1960 to 1989. He died in 1996, but I will put Pete Rozelle, and I will put,
Donald Stern?
David Stern. David Stern as the greatest sports commissioners of the last 50 years.
Yeah, and I'll say even maybe a little bit more Rozelle in the sense of where football had to come from, JR, with the merger to everything else, where I know he was great, but Stern came in at the perfect time, right? This is just when Magic and Larry had kind of gotten going. This was just when Michael Jordan was getting close to the league, going to the Olympics. It was perfect timing, but you're right. Even both of them guided them to what ownership and people could have never expected, and especially in basketball.
Dave Barr was born on this day in 1952, which would make him, I guess, 69, I believe that would be. Dave Barr, Canadian golfer, finished second in the U.S. Open in 1985. And has gone on. He's one of only three Canadians to win a Champions Tour event. Dave Barr celebrating his birthday today. Also celebrating today, born in 1973, Chris Webber of the Fab Five, University of Michigan. Of course, he's the one that actually called the timeout when they didn't have a timeout in the championship game. And then was, I believe, drafted by Sacramento, I want to say. Went on to a very long career. And is now one of the main announcers on TNT.
Yeah, and Wizards, when I was still in Washington, they brought in he and Juwan Howard. And at least on the surface at the time, JR, seemed like pretty good fellas, but just not. They both were kind of at a spot there. I think Juwan had quite a bit of injuries, and old C-Webb was kind of at the end of his career.
Turning 27 today is Kansas City receiver Tyreek Hill. And hockey birthdays today, a couple of old-timers. Max Bentley was born on this day in 1920, Hockey Hall of Famer. With the Hawks, the Leafs, and the Rangers, he passed away in 1984. Alan Stanley was born on this day in 1926, also a Hall of Famer, won cups in the 60s, was an All-Star in the 60s with the Leafs. And a couple of modern-day ones, Alex Steen is 37 today. He just came up. Of course, retired last year from the St. Louis Blues, won a cup. Son of Thomas Steen of the Winnipeg Jets. And last but not least, turning 58 today, is Ron Francis. Hall of Fame in 07, won two cups with the Penguins. He is, where would you say that Ron Francis is all-time in NHL points?
He played a long time, and by the time he got to Pittsburgh, I'm going to say seventh?
He is fifth all-time, 1,798 points, and is actually second all-time in assists, with 1,249, and of course now is the general manager of the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, and a good Sault Ste. Marie boy, played for the Sioux Greyhounds, quietly went in, and that really was the beginning and the end of the Hartford Whalers. That trade sending him to Pittsburgh and coming back the other way from the Rob Browns of the world to not a whole lot else, just ripped the heart out of that franchise. He was captain, most popular player, and pretty much sealed that the Pittsburgh Penguins were going to end up winning the Stanley Cup. That was him and Ulf Samuelsson coming over was a game changer for the Penguins.
Absolutely was. If you're celebrating a birthday today on this first day of March, happy birthday to you. And with that, we will put a wrap on the show and let you know that this fun frivolity and extravaganza called TSN 1200 will carry on within the box. Coming up, Steve Lloyd, Graham Creech, and Kenny Walls will take you through the next 4 hours. AJ and Lee are on the drive this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Our pregame show begins at 5, and then it's the Sens and the Flames again. Rubber match goes tonight at 7. Dean Brown, Gord Wilson will have the call from Canadian Tire Center. Enjoy the day and enjoy the game, everybody. We'll look forward to chatting with you tomorrow.